Okay, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome back to We Stayed Late
on the Road.
Oh, man.
It's just me and Spencer this time because we're off shooting. Beep! But all you astute fans know exactly what we're shooting.
We know exactly what we're shooting. How does
that work? We hope we have a check.
So, we also can't hear what we're recording, so we're hoping that it works and we talk for, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 minutes and it actually records.
I have to
present our patron saint.
Present our patron saint, Ben. There we go. All hail Ben.
All hail.
This will probably die midway through. That's okay.
That's all right.
So, Spencer.
Yeah. I'm so tired.
My cord is stuck. Okay. So we almost died.
Oh God. Yeah.
Can we kind of explain how we almost
died? Yeah. No, we can. We can give context because okay. It's like you know.
As you can see, I'm peach red. I've been kissed by the sun. I have a sun-kissed face.
Look at my arms. I'm not even kissed by the sun. I was like...
We were beaten by the sun.
Beaten.
The sun grabbed me by the choke and just fucking pounded me because we were both so sore and red.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
I didn't know how many boats we were going to go into yesterday.
Yeah, I know. We went to to give you context, we're in Key West, Florida. That's where we are today.
Yes.
And we've been here for the past 3 days? 2 days? 3 days?
I don't know. I lose track of time because we left at 12:30 in the morning of Tuesday.
No. Well, yeah. Technically.
Technically a Tuesday, but Monday night.
Monday night.
So Monday just rolled into 2 days. And I don't remember anything. I thought we were going to be okay filming the podcast today because I thought today was Wednesday.
Yeah, but today's Thursday.
So, oops.
I mean, I think we're just...
If you're a fan of this podcast, you know these... things are going to happen. We stayed too late. So we're on a boat.
Yeah. And we're on a boat.
Uh-huh.
And we're headed to another boat.
Uh-huh.
And that boat, I thought was our final destination.
Nope.
Not our final destination. We got on that boat and they're like, oh yeah, by the way, you have to go to another boat. And that boat is way out in the fucking ocean.
Wait, no, I think you missed a boat.
Oh, did I miss a boat?
We took one boat to a mother boat, and then from that mother boat, we went to a speed boat.
Yeah.
From that speed boat, we're going to go to the main
boat. That's right, yeah.
The
main boat.
The main boat.
We can't say any more than that.
Okay. So that was, they were like, buckle in because, well, there's no buckles.
Well, okay, so they were like, if we don't leave now.
Yeah.
Like, if we don't leave immediately,
yeah,
we're not going to go. And that's the whole reason we flew out here was to go to this boat.
The only reason.
The only reason we flew out here was to go to this boat. And so they said, if we don't leave now, you're not going to be able to go to that boat. So we're like, well, let's fucking go to the boat. What's the problem? Let's go. And they're like, it's going to be rough. And we're like, okay, that's fine. We just need to go to the boat. And
we're carrying, like, huge boxes. Like,
yeah.
There's YouTube happening.
Ooh. You hear that? Hey, people in the audio, you can hear how loud it...
Transitioning this from boat to boat. Not only that... these fuckers.
And this is a shoulder rig, and this shoulder rig's arm thing like to slip up. Oops.
Oops.
So we had a lot of transitioning from that big... thing,
yeah,
and these two things from boat to boat. What thing is it? You better watch the YouTube. Okay.
So I'm going to hand you this too. I don't want to ever see this again.
Yeah, this is a son of a bitch. Okay. So we're transferring that from boat to boat to boat to boat.
The first boat to boat was fine. The second boat to boat was fine. It was the third boat to boat that was a... So just to clarify, first boat to boat was we took a boat out to another boat.
Okay.
That boat that we... The whole...
And how do you transition from boat to boat?
So the boat pulls up alongside and they have these things called fins.
I don't know what they're called.
They're like big old pillows.
Yeah, they're big old pillows.
But they...
If I was a boat and I was landing next to Spencer...
And this is the boat.
Spencer's on my right, I'm on the left. And I put this pillow in between me.
So when the boat hits the other boat, it doesn't...
Right. Yeah. But, you know... This is probably
boat basics.
It's boat basics. This is boat basics podcast. So what happens is...
New podcast we make called boat basics.
We land right here. And then you can easily cross because...
They're tied up to each other.
Yeah. So
and the waves were super calm from that boat to the other boat. So it was totally fine. So we got over to the main boat. And they're like, yeah, we got to jump to the fast boat so we can get you there on time. And if we don't leave now, you're fucked and you're not going. In fact, you probably shouldn't even go now. Well, they were like, yeah. they were like, if you go now, it's going to be rough. But if you leave any later than right now, it's just going to get rougher. And then if you leave like too late, you're not going to be able to go at all.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, let's just go. It's fine. I mean, we just, you know, the seas are going to be rough. That's fine. We'll deal with it and we'll just go.
We thought it'd be fun. I thought it'd be a fun ride.
I mean, it was fun to an extent. It was right. fun in retrospect. But at the time,
yeah.
it was fucking terrifying. So then we jump to us in the speedboat, and we're hitting waves and just like just skipping along these.
Skipping. I mean, you're up in the air for 2 seconds, yeah. like just floating up in the air, and you're seeing like these just big waves, and we're going real fast. And we start getting splashed on.
Yeah,
which is a little fun.
Which is fun.
I started building some respect for those boat shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, just being on one.
Being on the boat, and the ride out was like it was hard, like it was not. It wasn't like hard to be there, but it was like a rough ride. But it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, you couldn't dance on that boat. You had to lock in real tight. In fact, I was worried. I was locking in so tight, my arm would be tired, and I know.
Well, and like you're standing on the boat, and the boat is going over the waves so much that it's like almost like wakeboarding, where you have to ride the waves, and so all of your muscles are engaged when you're doing it.
I had a strategy.
What was your strategy?
My strategy was when we were hitting those bumps uh-huh. up and down real big, and your knees could just buckle and fall. That was my fear. I feared my knees were going to buckle. Snap.
Yeah.
And then I was going to fall off board because I had nothing protecting me on my right side.
Yeah.
My trick was every time we jumped and then hit the water, I would get on the balls of my toes.
Oh, yeah. That's a good trick.
And then I would whoop. I would kind of act like a little suspension.
I was just in a squat the whole time.
Oh, you squatting
yeah.
down? Yeah.
I was just in a squat.
I realized we had the worst position because all the people who actually knew what they were doing were sitting down.
Yeah.
Behind the captain.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was like a tiny boat.
Well, so yeah, because we were the newbies. So they basically were like, yeah, just let them. Because they were like, we have to balance the boat, which means somebody has to be, people have to be up front, people have to be in the back. Yeah. And they're like, you guys go up front. We're like, okay, that's fine.
Sure, we love it. We have fun. We like to push ourselves. And the sun was out. You know, hitting our eyes, like, oh, the sun's finally out.
Yeah, because it was cloudy all morning.
It was cloudy all morning.
And it turned out to not be a good idea. And so, yeah, so we're in the front just trying to hang on for dear life, which was exciting. And then we got to the ship we were supposed to be at, and we stopped the boat, and that's when things got real bad.
That's when it got real bad.
Because then, at that point, the waves are like 5-10 feet tall. And they're rocking up and down, and so we're rocking up and down in this tiny little boat.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the horizon is basically like changing, like,
right? Every
45 degrees to zero. You know, it's.
And so I start throwing up over the side of the boat.
No, that happens later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In fact, I know it because when we stop and we start rocking, I look at your face and you are pale white.
Yeah.
You're white like a ghost.
And then I'm usually that white, but yes, it got like, whiter.
All your blood was gone, and that instilled fear into my heart. Because I took Dramamine that day thinking, I don't need this shit.
I took it too, I'll be fine. And we were fine the whole boat ride over. It was just when we stopped.
I brought two. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I didn't know that. So I should have taken two.
See, I remember when I offered you the one?
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to overdose on Dramamine.
But no, but I took the second one, so I think that, anyway. So, but that was the problem, was you start rock, because when we're going fast, you're just kind of bumping up and down, which is fine.
Yeah, it feels like an action sport where you're like constantly using your legs, but it's fine. Everything was fine. It just is when you stop.
And we're rocking back and forth. And the guy just said he didn't have any steering.
Oh yeah, we lost steering halfway through.
I don't know what that means.
That means they can't steer the boat.
So how did they steer us back? Okay, it doesn't matter.
I think he lost power steering.
Okay.
Which means he could still steer, but it was like a bitch.
Because it was Interstellar when Matthew McConaughey had to like land right at the right spot.
Right,
You know what I mean? This is what's happening. So we have a big shrimping boat.
Yeah.
Huge.
Huge boat.
And the waves keep crashing up and down. So we're trying to dock. Like remember when the docking story before? The pillows in between the ships? Easy if it's calm water. I don't even know how to explain this. The waves are going up like 15 feet, right? 15.
I don't know. I don't know how tall it was. I think they said it was 5 to 10 feet.
It did not feel that way. It did not feel that. Okay, let's say 10 feet, okay. Fine. There's a tiny ass boat meaning a big ass boat. And basically, they're like, you're going to have to jump on that boat. Like, and you only have 2 seconds to do it.
Basically, okay, if you're watching, it'll be a little easier to explain. But, like, the boat that's bigger is more stable. And so it doesn't like, rise and fall as much.
It still rocks a little, but not that much.
But not as much. The smaller boat, the speedboat, will go up and down with the wave. Mm-hmm. And so, basically, as the...
The speedboat's about, like, what, an eighth? Yeah.
Smaller than that. Maybe like a 12th.
Yeah.
The size of the boat.
A 12th or a 16th size.
Yeah. So it's small. And as the wave goes up, that small boat rises up to meet the deck of the big boat. And this boat that we're going to see...
Kind of like the Panama Canal.
Yeah. Where it like rises up and then falls. But the boat that we are going to visit didn't have a ladder to get on board. Because they don't usually have people board from...
Were we expecting for there to be a ladder?
Most boats that are designed to be... Like, that you're designed to get on, like the one that we were...
Yeah.
Has, like, an area where you can board.
Yeah, this one did not.
This one's not designed to be... I mean, it probably is designed to not be boarded because it is not designed... I mean... The only people that would be boarding are either people that are visiting, which nobody really ever visits, or pirates.
Yeah, pirates.
So, those are the two people that would be boarding that boat, and neither of those you want to make it easy on. So, especially the pirates. So they're not going to sacrifice for like people that are visiting that never visit. So, right. So there's no way to get on this boat besides leap from deck to deck. So when the small boat goes up and it becomes...
When it rises 10 feet
yeah.
and is right next to the boat.
Right.
That's your opportune moment to jump from boat to boat. So now, yeah. No, but let me tell you, even if you're athletically, like if you have the capability to do this,
yes.
It's fine. But lay on top of this, we are both feeling very sick.
I've thrown up at this point at least twice.
Did you throw up before you got on that boat?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I threw up twice before I got on that boat.
Then you threw up a third time?
I threw up four times
total. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I threw up four times total. Two times before, two times after.
Okay. At least you evened it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I threw up twice before we got on the boat. Okay. And then I was like, all right, we just got to go. Like, we're here. We have to do it. And then...
This was the most important part of the shoot.
Yes.
The getting on this boat and filming this... Exchange.
Yes. And so once we... But the problem is that the boat keeps, like, hitting... Because the waves keep pushing the small boat into the big boat. So they're having everybody, like, thin, which is where they take those pillows and push in between. But it's, like, really dangerous because it's a fucking boat hitting another boat. And they keep slamming these things in the areas where the boats are going to be hitting. And then being like, go! You gotta go! And so we keep, like, you know, tossing equipment across or handing equipment across to the crew on that side. And then finally they were like, all right, now you have to go. And so, so the boats evened out and we just kind of threw our bodies across.
Yeah, there was a little hole that wasn't meant for you to climb, but we jumped on that
hole. It's
where
they push all the like stuff that's on the deck, they push it off through a tiny little
hole. To clean it up, yeah.
To clean it out.
So as the boat rises 10 feet up in the air and is a few inches away from the boat, that's your opportune moment. You have 2 seconds to jump on the other boat. We finally get on the boat and I remember the person we're filming with, he's like, you have the sea legs for this. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's going to be fine. We're on a boat. It'll be fine. It'll be okay. This was a different experience I've ever had. Like, I could not keep steady of the camera. Like, I had to go on my knees to get some shots. And then at other points, I kept slipping. Like, I had to put myself on like, I don't know what I was putting myself on.
There were like...
I was about to vomit in film at the same time. Like, I had one hand on a rope.
Yeah, you had to go to the bathroom, too.
I had to do everything. I had to go.
Every orifice was ready to go.
I don't know how we shot it, but we ended up getting...
I don't know either. And it was in focus, apparently.
God bless the Canon auto balance lens.
Yeah.
Because that thing did a great job. I mean, if you brought a newbie who's never filmed anything before, no way. I went on autopilot.
Yeah.
That's the only way. I was like, uh-huh. Wide balance, focus, iris, shutter.
Yeah.
And I was sick the week before this.
Yeah.
Week, so I can't even imagine if I was like sniffly and...
If you're sick.
And not, yeah, and coughing and about to vomit. Anyway, we filmed this thing. And then we had to do it all over again.
We had to get off the boat.
We had to get off the boat.
Which proved even more challenging because every minute that passed, the wind was picking up. And when the wind picks up, the waves follow. And so the waves get bigger. And so So we wanted to get shots of, basically they're pushing stuff like off the boat, and we wanted to get shots of that. And so we wanted to get a shot from above the boat and below the boat, you know, to tie the two together. And there's only a limited amount of the stuff they're pushing off. So like, we were like, okay, well, we'll just leave somebody on the boat, leave somebody on the main boat, and get somebody back on the smaller boat, and then come get that person off of the big boat at the very end after we film the, you know, the action happening in both places. And that wasn't going to happen.
No.
The captain was like, there is no way that we are bringing that boat up here two more times. So we had to just sacrifice a little bit and get a little bit.
I feel like it was easier jumping onto the boat for some reason.
Well, it's because the winds picked up. It's because it was...
That's what it was?
And because, also, he was stationed behind the boat, and without power steering, like, he pulled up beside the boat first.
Uh-huh.
And then when he had to back off and move down, then he had to do that all over again. So it was like he didn't just get to, like, dock next to it.
Because we had to hang on the ledge of the boat, is it technically?
Well, we had to put our legs over the side, and they were like, "Yeah, you got
the legs over the side of a big old boat that is still."
But not only that, the other boat's rising to join and slamming, and so you have the chance that it's just gonna like decapitate.
Delegify you.
Just gonna chop your leg off if it hits the thing. So at some point, I mean, I had my legs over, and at some point, I pulled them back over. I was like, guys,
I thought you were gonna make it to the boat.
I know. Oh, I was
feeling
real sick. You
jumped
I just jumped from one boat.
They're like, you gotta jump, and I was like, holy shit, this is like a movie.
Yeah. And then I jumped.
Yeah.
And I landed, and I like skid across the thing, and like it was crazy.
I definitely had that moment where I had to breathe. I'm like, everything slowed down, and then it came like, go, go. And then you jumped to the other boat, and they're like, let's get out of here. And then we left, but
it was crazy. Oh, and on the boat that we were on, the big boat that we went to visit, there were nets everywhere, like nets and ropes and all sorts of stuff. So whenever I was falling, I was holding the camera with one arm,
yes,
and like holding onto a rope with another. And you know, and it would like swing sideways, and you just have to ride it because the waves are going everywhere. It was a crazy experience.
And that's when I saw you vomit. Was that time? I was like, you know what, guys, I'm just gonna vomit real quick if that's okay.
Yeah, I was like, I'm just gonna vomit and just.
Be done. I feel like I'm at war. I'm like, oh, and I hear you vomiting. I'm like, God, and I'm just like, look at the horizon, you know, and then there was one more detail. Oh, and then one of the people that was on the boat. Didn't we ask him how long he's been on the sea? How long has it been on the sea?
He was like, well, like how long he had actually been in the, like on the sea, not like how long had he been working, like how long had he been on a boat? And he said, oh, at least like 35 years that he's been on the water. He's been on the water longer than we've been alive.
I'm not even, that's star. That's a star life.
That's right. Star's life. But just on the water is insane.
Imagine your body.
He's 75.
Yeah. Oh, really?
75 on the water.
That's good. I guess your body just, it gets used to it. The balance.
Yeah.
Your inner ear.
Well, one of the other captains I was talking to, he was saying that that when he's captaining, he doesn't get sick anymore because he's so afraid he's going to do something wrong.
So his body shuts it down. He's like, no, we cannot get sick.
He said when he rides as a passenger, sometimes he gets sick. He used to get sick as a passenger all the time. But his body like shuts it down when he's captaining because he's too afraid that he's going to make a mistake.
My God, that's a whole other world I can never do. The one job I was always afraid to do is driving an 18-wheeler.
Yes.
I could never do that job. And this is another one of those. I could never work on a shrimp boat.
No. Oop. It's fine. We've already said it.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. It's not a big deal, though, because it's like, what are you going to spoil?
Nothing.
Nothing.
A prawn ship.
A prawn ship, as Luke would say.
And then I passed out for like 8 hours after that.
Yeah, so you went to sleep, and then I woke up to meet with the host of the show to talk over today, and I was like, Luis, just meet us when you're awake, and then you text me at 11:30.
Hello. I'm awake.
I'm awake, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to sleep. We've already met. We've already made our decisions. We're already going to sleep.
So I was hungry, we had Cubans, and I had Cuban sandwiches, not Cuban cigars. So I ate one right when I got here, devoured it. And then there was another one here. And I was like, should I eat that? But it's been out for 8 hours.
Oof.
I decided against
it. No, that's
so I didn't eat it. And I ran, and then I went down to look for a place to eat. I just needed something to eat real bad. And so the concierge was there, and he told me there was a McDonald's down the block. So I ran there. I had a sudden feeling of running. So I ran.
Oh, God, I didn't know that detail.
Yeah, because I guess I've been sleeping for 8 hours. Like, your body needs to move. So yeah. I just was compelled to run. So I ran to the McDonald's. Closed. The inside was closed. The outdoor was open.
The drive-thru.
So I went back to my place. You know? Oh, I know why I went back to my place. Because my phone was dying. That's what happened. I went back to my place to recharge my phone. And then I ordered a Lyft. And then that Lyft took me to McDonald's. And then I ate that McDonald's.
Oh, man.
So.
How was it?
It was McDonald's.
It was fine.
It was okay. I feel bad. I feel like I should have eaten, like,
well,
local things. Are you getting it?
Oh!
So we're exhausted and tired right now.
If you can't tell, we're exhausted.
We have some questions.
Oh, we do?
We do. Okay, I'm going to remove Baby Ben. Baby Ben was here for our... For our story.
Like, I have other things to present.
What do you mean? You have other stories?
No, I just was gonna show this.
Oh yeah, yeah, show that.
I don't know if this is interesting to anybody.
I mean,
but it's
is any of this interesting to anybody? We have so much. Look at. Have you seen this document?
Yeah, it's amazing.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of questions on here. Okay, if you're watching the YouTube version, I'm gonna give you a little sneak peek of something that we brought home because. We could, but ooh, baby.
Ooh, baby.
Can you see that? That's a lot of food. I'm very excited
to eat. Let's do a reaction video.
Oh, yeah, to
this. Let's eat it. What do we taste? Okay, guys, we're piloting an episode of reactions.
We have to give them money if we want to do that. You know that, right?
Who?
The
right now, we're giving you... hey, Siri.
Nope. Nothing.
What's another word for a reaction? Please tell me what it is. Don't use my hands.
I'm ripping this
up. Synonyms of reaction, a chemical reaction, response. That's not what I wanted.
That's not what we wanted.
A reaction. This is a
response video.
This is a response video.
To what's in front of us.
To what's in front of us.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a little crackly.
You hear that? Yeah.
Oh! I better turn off my Slack.
People are slacking.
Oh, now I'm getting juice all over my laptop.
Oh.
I'm going to mute it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Let's see. All right.
I don't know if I should eat these. Do you eat the legs?
I don't eat the legs.
You rip them off.
I rip them off. But that's just me.
Doesn't this also have a little poop bag in it?
Yeah.
Spencer, I just learned that you like shrimp.
I love shrimp. Which is real weird. I shouldn't.
It smells not as fishy as you think. This is straight from the docks.
This is straight from the docks. From the docks to our stomach.
I like to add a little lemon to mine.
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Ooh.
For people that are listening, this is probably very confusing.
It's okay. I tried it out. Can you hear that shrimp? I don't think they can.
Oh, yeah. We're eating shrimp. That's not a surprise. I hope that wasn't...
All right. Bottoms up.
Oh, boy. Okay. I'm just cleaning
it. Cling, cling. Oh, you're cleaning it?
Yeah.
Ooh, it's compelling. What's shrimp going to taste like? The whole world's been waiting to find out what shrimp tastes like.
That's good shrimp.
Solid shrimp. This is our response video. The long-awaited.
I give it a 7 out of 10. That's pretty good. It's compelling.
Yeah, 7 out of 10. I don't know what else to say about it. I guess we shouldn't do response videos.
Yeah, we're not very good at them. We just go, nah, it's all right.
It's pretty good. I gotta mute everything. Everything's going off. Okay.
Oh, man.
We got questions.
Let's do a question.
What is the most expensive thing? Oh, this is from Aaron. What is the most expensive thing you regret buying?
Oh.
I know that. I've been fooled to buy something.
What were you fooled to buy?
I was conned. Did you know this?
No.
I've been kind of waiting to tell this story.
Oh, you should tell it.
It happened, embarrassingly, it happened not so long ago.
A galaxy far, far away?
So I was driving around during lunch, and this guy yelled at me from his truck. He was like, yo, hey. And I was like, yes. And he said, yo, I got some, I feel so stupid saying it now. I got some speakers in the back of my car. And he said, I got some extra speakers from the back of my car. You know, I'm supposed to transfer from set to set. And they wanted 10 and I got 12. And I don't need it, and I'm just trying to get some extra money. So do you want, you know, you can get a pair or like a set of these speakers. And I was like, all right, that sounds good to me. I need speakers.
Wait, for your car?
For my home entertainment system.
Got it, okay.
So I go, he's like, okay, cool. I was like, well, I don't have any cash with me, but there's a Chase, I'm saying this, I don't have any cash with me, but there's a Chase bank I can go to and I can go take money out for you. And he's like, great, how much is it going to cost? $300. I made a big mistake. I pulled out $300 for this man, gave it to him, and I had these terrible speakers that I've never used. And there are no brands. Some people say there's concrete in them.
I don't. Who think, are these people that say there's concrete
think,
in them?
I don't know, but I looked it up online. It's called the White Van Con. White Van Speaker Con. Let's see if I can find it. White Van Speaker Scam. It's a Wikipedia page. Look at this. This is what happened to me. I got the White Van Speaker Scam put upon me.
That is exactly what
you're reading. If you read the Wikipedia page, this is
go
what,
ahead and read it.
Oh, the White Van Speaker Scam is a scam sales technique in which a con artist makes a buyer, me, believe they're getting a good price on home entertainment products. Now, on my side, I was having some financial issues, so this made it worse. I thought I could resell them, which this is what this man was hoping that my mentality was. You know, he thought that, you know, that's what the con artist does. He makes the buyer think he's smarter than he is, which I wasn't. After a con artist will buy generic speakers worth around $40. Yep. He'll convince the potential buyers there are premium products worth over $2,000. Offering them for sale at around $200. Con artists in this type of scam call themselves speaker guys and usually claim to be working for a speaker delivery or installation company.
That's exactly what happened, right?
That's exactly what happened. The speaker scam was common in the 80s. So this is a retro scam that I'm too young
to know. It came back.
It came back.
The 80s came back.
And despite widespread information about the scam on consumer forums and watchdog sites, the scam continues operating across several continents. There's logistics.
So if somebody offers you speaker, I mean, here's the thing too, is like, it's very possible they were stolen as well.
I mean, maybe.
You know?
They could have been.
Like, I was just watching a thing where this woman had her camera and camera equipment stolen out of her car, and it showed up on eBay, and she was like, that's my camera because that's my serial number, and she bought it.
Damn.
And then she went to like
the news. Do you keep track of your serial numbers?
Well, she has it on her photos. Your photos will tell you, like, it'll have like a thing that tells you what camera it was taken with if you go into the metadata.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so she was able to look that up and be like, oh, that's my camera. And then she saw that she had a they had a flash thing that was on there as well that was being sold. And so she was like, this guy is just selling all my shit. And so she contacted like the news and they did sort of a investigative report and they've tracked down the guy who was selling them. And yeah, he would just, I mean, he has like hundreds of stuff on his, hundreds of things on his eBay, like account, on his eBay, profile and in his shop, I guess I should say. And yeah, and he would just buy things from people at a super low price who stole them, and he had like this whole network of people that would just sell him things super cheap, and then he would sell them on eBay. So he wasn't actually doing the stealing. So that's what was interesting, is that he had people who were stealing for him. He would give them money. Right. He'd give them money to steal.
Man.
He'd give them like $50 or whatever.
What a world stuff. We live in. There's so many nooks and crannies of like
crime.
Yeah. That we don't know. Like people among you. Like somebody next door to me could be committing
a heinous crime.
Like I said, somebody next door to you could be committing a crime. Spencer, what have you bought that you regret for buying? Oh, I know the story.
What is it?
Well, you've said it before. It's when you bought have we answered this? It's when we bought all those DVDs.
Oh, yeah. No, we didn't. We didn't talk about this. But yes, that is one regret that I have. I don't know if it's my biggest one, but it's definitely one of them.
I feel like you already mentioned that in the podcast,
though. Yeah, I did. I bought instead of buying like one or two really great DVDs with a gift card, I bought 1,000 or 100 movie set, one of those ones with a bunch of discs in it, and it turned out that all the movies were shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would you put 100 great movies into a set and sell it when you could put 100 ones that are really bad and then sell it for super cheap because you don't have to, you know, get the rights or anything. So anyway, yeah, I do highly regret that, and I've learned from that experience that sometimes you shouldn't just buy something because it has 50 things in it.
Yeah.
You know?
So besides that, is there anything you regret from buying?
I nothing comes up on the top of my head. I usually am pretty like
smart about what you buy.
Well, I usually think about, if I'm gonna buy something big, I usually think about it. I didn't know if I would regret buying like the 3D printer or the Cricut machine that I got because I didn't know how much I would. I was afraid that they wouldn't be as useful as I thought they would be.
The 3D printer, we all know what that is. The Cricut machine.
That's one that cuts paper.
That's, yeah, I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, so it just cuts paper and you program what shape. It's used for scrapbooking, but I use it to prototype stuff. So like it'll just cut out whatever you put in the computer, what shape you want, and it cuts it out on paper. Yeah,
that's very cool. It does a very fine detail too, because mm-hmm. you did a cutout for Star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did some Ruby stickers. But yeah, it's really cool. It works really well. So I don't regret. I thought I was, because I bought that and was like, okay, I really want this right now, but I don't know if I'm going to want it in 3 months. And it turns out that I do want it. It's really good. So, but yeah, I can't think of anything else.
No regrets.
No regrets. No regret buying anything.
Okay. I'm going to color this. Can I color? Oh, no, I don't think I have permission to color it. All right, whoever made this document, color it.
Color it.
Okay, you pick one.
Okay. You've turned into I like this one.
You like that one?
Yeah, turned into a supervillain. What would your evil plan be? And what would your end would be your end goal? Conquer the planet, blow it up. I think I'd want to make a base on the moon.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That seems like a cool one.
But why is that villainous?
What would my evil plan be, and what should be the end goal? So the end goal is definitely to build a base on the moon where I
How big of a base?
I'm talking hollow out the moon.
What?
I'm talking we hollow out the moon and we build a base on the inside of the moon.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so you hollow it out.
And then...
That's not going to mess with the tides, is it?
Probably. I don't give a shit.
I'm going to move. Yeah, that's true.
And then what would I...
Your evil plan.
But why? That's the question. But why? I think just to like be able to
say you have a...
I don't know. Like, there's something about being over the Earth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You could construct it into a ship planet. Isn't that a thing? In some...
Yeah.
Universe?
Yeah.
I feel like that's part of some universe. A ship planet.
I think Well, but...
Like, this isn't a planet. This is a ship!
Yeah. I feel like it's Star Wars. Somewhere in Star Wars they do that. But I think I'd want to be able to like have a thing that goes down to Earth and can just like beam up anything that I want.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So it like it's going over the top of the Earth and there's like a machine. It's like a Death Star where like it has a thing that will beam down to the Earth, but I can be like, I want that car, and it'll like vroom and take the car. Like a very focused tractor beam. So I'd hollow out the inside of the moon, I'd put a base there, then inside the moon, the hollowed out moon, I would build a massive tractor beam, very focused massive tractor beam, replace the face of one side, like one area of the moon, with like a magnifying glass that would allow it to like focus in on whatever I want, and then I would send a beam out and just steal all the stuff that I want.
I feel like
it's a very bad plan, but just to be clear, most supervillains' plans are pretty bad.
You definitely have that tactic of being on top of the hill, like you want to be on top of the hill,
right?
I mean, I don't know how anyone's gonna come to you.
Because I would definitely build some sort of like...
Because if they try to destroy you, they were going to ruin planet Earth.
Right.
So they can't destroy you.
Right, they can't just blow it up.
They'd have to infiltrate you.
They'd have to infiltrate. And so I think I would have to put... Because the moon is tidally locked, right? So it the same side faces you no matter what... No matter where you are, right?
Like they could send out a drone satellite.
Yeah, they could.
But I guess you just have defense mechanisms.
But I'm thinking, like, on the side, on the front... Ooh, that'd be cool. So on the front side, you would just have, like, a ton of artillery, like, encompassing... Or, like, around like the
are we talking the dark side of the moon
no we're talking the light side of the moon that's towards the Earth.
Yes,
you just have a bunch of like artillery that would keep the anything coming towards you safe.
Is that for theatrics, for theatrical reasons?
I mean, I think for both, right? Okay, yeah. It's facing the Earth, so anything that's coming from the Earth,
oh my god,
it'd be able to hit and blow up midair. But I think my bullets are like not my bullets but like my ammunition would all have colored gunpowder in it too, so that when it blew something up, it would make like fireworks.
So people would know.
Yeah, so people would fucking know that I just blew them up.
I feel like there are satellites that float around the Earth. What if it's like, you know, maybe it's not coming straight from the Earth. What if it's coming from the side?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, what's on the dark side? Like, what's on the dark side of my moon? I don't know. I think I'd start like a... Well, that would not be a good idea. I was going to say, I think I would start like some sort of colony... But I don't want anybody betraying me. And if I let people be on the dark side of the other villains, not super villains, regular villains, on the dark side of the moon, then one of them might go, you know what, I want to be the boss.
Yeah, no, you can't have that.
So maybe I just have a bunch of clones that are like drone clones.
Do they look like you? Or do they look like other
people? They look like me.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, but the reason why is because then when they come to invade, they don't know who I am.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So we all dress exactly the same, and they're just on the other side of the moon, just chilling.
That's like a Black Mirror
episode. Yeah, and they're like drones, so I would just... They're like hive minds, so I control all of them.
Oh my god, yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So like they would... What if they went wrong? Well, no, you just have to make sure they don't go rogue. You'd pull the... what's it called? From Suicide Squad. Where if they go rogue, you could just blow them up.
Blow them up? Yeah.
So you have to have a chip implanted in them. But yeah, they'd be a bunch of clones with robot brains that all look like me. And then I could just pretend to be one if they arrive, and then nobody would ever know which one I am. And there'd be too many of them to capture all of them. And then I'd just set them all to attack. So they'd all be attacking.
Yeah. That'd be amazing. I have a Black Mirror idea.
Okay.
I had it on the drive over to our other shoot today.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's recent.
I'll get back to the supervillain, but since you were talking about making drones of you. So they were talking about sponges.
Oh, yeah,
And how they, like...
Like natural sponges, not like sponges that go... Well, I mean, you can use them to clean stuff, but they're not like the ones that you typically would see on your sink. They're like natural sponges.
I don't even know what they look like, to be honest.
They use them to paint sometimes? Yeah, you can look them up. They use them to paint sometimes. They're like...
But you can use them to clean things too, can't they?
You absolutely can. That says real life songs. I don't know what you're typing there, but that's not...
Real life sponges.
They're what SpongeBob is.
Yeah, but no, but that's a SpongeBob is a square.
Yeah, that's true. They really didn't make that. There it is.
That's it.
That's it. That is an actual SpongeBob.
This thing.
Yeah, like those.
Like this. Okay.
And when they're dried out, they look like this. You've seen those before.
Oh, okay. So, and they were saying how great they are because, they're saying that they take them out and then they beat the shit out of them.
Right, they take them and when they pull them up from their roots, because they're like a plant,
right,
they'll grab a mallet or something and just like beat the shit out of them until all the stuff from inside of them is gone.
And because of the material, it doesn't like rot or have mildewy.
Yeah.
It's just like the way, because it's organic. And you brought up the question, well, what if they come back to life? Like, can they come back to life?
Right.
Like if they're in the water.
Like when you put them back in the water... Because some things, like when you dehydrate them, when you rehydrate them, they just come back to life.
Right.
And so I was wondering if when you take them out of the water and dehydrate them, if they could still be alive when you put them under the water.
So the concept...
And they said no, by the way. No,
so the concept of this living thing... I mean, I know it's a sponge. It's fine. So it's okay. 20 years later,
we're
fighting for sponges. But right now, a sponge, it's okay to, I guess, kill a sponge?
I mean, it's technically a plant, so it'd be the same as like killing a strawberry.
Okay.
I think. I mean.
Right. So, but for some
reason, it has roots in the ground.
Right. That does make sense. So, but when I was thinking about sponges, I was thinking about.
Oh, maybe they are animals. Hold on.
I was thinking about someone killing humans and using them to clean things.
Interesting. Oh, because it is an animal.
It's an animal. It's okay. An animal. So just an I was animal. Like, okay, well, that's like a, using an animal's body to clean stuff.
Right.
So I just quick in my brain, because it's fun up there, I just replaced it with a human. And then I started to think, okay, Black Mirror episode. We live in a world with humans and humanoid drones, like robots.
Right.
Like they've made robots into humans. Everyone looks all different. You can alter your genetics. Robots look different. Everyone looks weird. But you can't distinguish between... Really, you can't distinguish between a robot and a human.
So sort of like Blade Runner, where it's like the only way is to take one of those tests.
Yes.
Okay.
And so basically, it's fine. No one worries about it. But the population of robots is...
I feel like there's a lot of issues.
Okay. Well,
when
yeah.
that becomes the
well,
case.
Well, at this point, there isn't any issues. Okay. We're about to find out the all issues right now.
So we're at the utopia stage of yes. the dystopia. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And they're doing great. And but they're about to reach... They're about to be the majority of the world.
Oh, interesting. So they are about to cross the threshold from being the minority to the majority. Yes.
So... And they kind of work on their own system. And then little by little, like it starts with a murder case.
Okay.
And little by little, this person starts to notice that the robots are secretly killing humans to farm them for certain organic things.
Oh, shit.
That they can't synthetically make. And so because sponges don't have that mildewiness because of their whatever they're naturally made of, humans would offer the same thing for robots for whatever reason. Fill in the blank. I don't know. But no one ever notices because they've been able to create an algorithm that is able to simulate just like random murders.
Right.
And there's no MO. They're able to just say, okay, well, we've killed these many people. Let's now we need to change it
That's
up and
amazing.
Kill this person. So they're able to scatter and
what
like,
if what if they're doing it? What if they've figured out a way to like the one thing they haven't been able to replicate is true emotion?
Oh, okay.
And so what they're doing is they're extracting from humans emotion.
That's pretty good.
From dead humans. So like they're taking humans and they've figured out a way like whatever part of the brain they can
because they can't make the code for
they
that
could,
themselves.
They could simulate emotion.
Right.
But they can't ever truly feel emotion. So I mean we don't know because we don't have AI yet. So it's like it's hard to know, but if they I don't know how you do that. It feels very Philip K. Dick universe-esque, uh-huh. where like, if you guys don't know him, he's the guy who wrote Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which is what Blade Runner is based off of. And in that universe, there is a device that allows them. I think it's called Somata or is that Brave New World? I can't remember. Anyway, there's some sort of device that allows them to change their emotion. So like they'll program their emotion during the day, and yeah, so that feels very like very in line with that, which makes sense. And so if we were to figure out a way, like if they can't replicate true emotion, the only way they could feel,
yeah,
is what if
But then that emotion is it would be a curse upon them. They don't realize.
Right. Well, I'm just thinking like what if what they can't feel is pain?
And they want to feel pain?
But what if they've never felt it?
And they don't know how bad it is.
They don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't know if that's too like out there, but like they're never able to feel emotion and because of that they well I mean I think the overall idea that like they're never able to feel emotion is driving
good.
And
yeah.
and interesting, but it's interesting as a sub version of that there is somebody one of them is like after or maybe just a one of the emotions that they get is pain and it's. It's sort of like, I don't know. It's like interesting to them to feel that because that is an emotion that
they have
they're
access,
not programmed
right.
to feel.
They have access to everything, but they can't have access to this.
Right, and pain is an important. I'm looking at the cameras and like a no, like pain is an important part of the mm-hmm. important part of the
it
human process.
It makes you grow.
Right, and so they're never able to grow because they never feel pain. So what if they're like not able to evolve? They're not able to change. They're not able to better themselves because
they've kind
they
of
never
like
feel
they've kind
pain.
Of like reached a plateau,
right?
Plateaued out, and there's no reason for it to grow. We're
that
perfect.
Might make it too convoluted.
Right.
That might need to be like off. But it's just an interesting concept to me that like that they would be seeking the one thing that we feel like we don't want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the antithesis of what we strive to feel as humans, but it is the is one of the most important emotions that we have. And so if we would not we would program them thinking we should they shouldn't feel pain because we don't want to feel it. So they shouldn't.
It's kind of like a parent. Oh, well, right. I had a bad experience with this. They shouldn't feel this. Or I don't want my kids to feel pain. I don't want my kids to go through this trauma. So I'm going to hide them as much as possible from that.
Yeah, that was sort of the Archangel episode. Yeah. So it has very similar themes to that. But yeah, if we just didn't ever program pain into them so they didn't know what it felt like, and then they were striving after that, and that would make an even more interesting, it would make that even more interesting that they were killing people, causing them the most amount of pain that a human can suffer, and they're experiencing that and wanting to feel that, and they're having to kill them to get there. It's just like sort of this parallel. Yeah. Like, that they're causing pain to get pain.
And no one notices because they can...
They replicate it in a way that humans can't track it. But then it brings up the question of, like, are there androids, cyborgs, whatever you want to call them, that are also on the force and they are able to spot things that humans can't? Do they have to bring in somebody who is...
That's true. I never thought of it.
Historically, have they like not allowed these people who are to be a part of the Force? Mm. And so,
I feel like it would benefit them.
Right. That's the hard thing. It's like it would benefit them. So why would they not implement them? Maybe they're treated like dogs.
Who? Who's treated like dogs?
Maybe the androids are treated like dogs. They're thrown into situations that normal human cops wouldn't want to be put in, or normal human detectives wouldn't want to be in. But the humans are like, no, we solve these cases, we do these things, and you just do the shit that we can't, like, that we don't want to do.
I see, yeah.
Because if you get shot or if you get hurt, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Right? And they don't feel pain. So it's like they can go and do these things and get hurt, and they would just get be reprogrammed or whatever. So they kind of have... They are part of the Force, but they are a lower part of the Force. And then that somebody from that lower part of the Force is like, I think I know what's happening. And they're like, this is not your job. You stay out of this shit.
Damn.
Right? Yeah. And then they go and solve it on their own. And then they're having to go
and they against... have to work over their protocols that they can't cross.
Right. Exactly.
So have to ask a human to help them do things.
And then the interesting part about that is that they are suddenly the betrayers to their own kind.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to face this thing of, like, I am hunting down these people who are, or these things that are of me. And I'm helping the people that they are technically against in some way. Layers.
Take it.
We just take it.
Take it.
Yeah.
Take it.
Black Mirror, call us.
Yeah. But if I was a supervillain, bring this back.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I guess, I don't, supervillain. I'm gonna.
It could be small too. It doesn't have to be huge.
That's true.
You could just be a supervillain for like.
For petty things.
Yeah.
So, I have a plan. It's kind of more of a theatrical thing.
Okay, that's fine. A lot of supervillains, like mine, was very theatrical. Like a lot.
I think it'd be cool to. This is so dumb. You have a 4-lane highway, right?
Okay.
And highways always have emergency lanes.
Right.
So you get 5 Hummers.
Uh-huh.
And you're driving down the highway. All 5 Hummers start and occupy all the lanes.
Mm.
They slowly slow
what
down.
What color are they?
Black.
That's what I thought. Okay.
They slowly start
to... important details.
Yeah. They slowly start to slow down, and then they just bring traffic from 60 to 0. And everyone's honking. Everyone's upset. Uh-huh. And then my team comes out. A helicopter comes swinging in.
Okay.
We get on the helicopter.
Rope on the helicopter? Yeah.
Then we get on the helicopter and we fly away. And then all these people are stuck on the highway. And then you get aerial shots on the news saying, the craziest highway stunt. Why did they do it? Nobody knows. But I just think that'd be funny.
I was just thinking, like, if you have all those cars stopped and you're a supervillain, like, do you just go and rob all of them?
I guess you could. I guess I didn't think about that. I feel like you're like an underling.
Yeah.
Like, hey, boss, let's steal some shit. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Let's do that. I didn't think about that. Yeah, I guess we could do that. And then if the cops came, I just think that it's the funnest idea is when a cop comes, get a helicopter.
Yeah, just swoop away.
And I sweep away. I got a lot of plans like that. I got plans of building a thing that covers my license plate when I go through a light.
Uh-huh.
I push a button, it goes, phew! And no one can monitor me, or when I'm getting have to pay for the toll.
Oh yeah.
Pew! I feel like that's easy to make.
I feel like it'd be more...
like, no one's going
to
track
it. I feel like it'd be a more interesting thing to grab the license plate of a random person and be able to generate it onto your car.
So you're able to, like change the license plate.
It's e-ink.
That
your license plate is e-ink. And so then it just copies one of the cars around you. And so then they're able to, like... Yeah, then you're...
Oh, that's amazing.
But, you know what it is? It's e-ink, and it goes into... You've hacked into the DMV records, and you find a car that matches your car. So it's not like, oh, that license plate shouldn't be on that car. That car must be stolen.
Damn.
It goes in the DMV records, and it finds, like, a green Chevy.
So I'm going to get a blue Toyota Corolla.
Right.
Like...
Most common car.
Yeah.
And then it's able to draw on all the blue Toyota Corollas that exist in the database and just change the license plate to that.
That's the plan.
Yeah. And then your windshield should also go mosaic. Like the...
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So they can't see through the camera.
Or get like a two-way, one-way mirror? Something like that? That just, yes. It just fades on. Or just e-inks black.
Yeah. We have self-driving cars soon. I can just self-drive.
Yeah.
Walk me.
Hoom. Hoom.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are my plans. And then I have variations of the helicopter car plan where I just get like a junky car and if someone... These are all petty things. I never do them, though. Someone pisses me off, I'll just hit them. And then, bye-bye, baby. Get on the helicopter and fly away.
I'm trying to think about what else you could do, like, escaping on a helicopter. Like,
hold on, I'm going to see if this is still rolling.
Oh, okay.
Just, I have a fear. I always have the fear.
Is it still rolling?
It's still rolling.
We're still here.
I constantly have that fear when we're shooting. That all the footage that we filmed is garbage.
It's gone?
Yeah, it's just gone or out of focus.
I just have the fear it's garbage.
I have the fear it's out of focus and gone. And there's nothing we can do about it.
I'm trying to think about, like, is there a way that you could attach some sort of, like, strong magnet to your... Maybe not even a magnet. Just something where, like... I'm thinking of those... Do you ever get a magic kit as a kid?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember, like, the magic kits where they had, like, the pen cap thing? It was, like, a little, like, plastic cap. And you would put it in your hand, and it had an elastic band that ran up your arm and, like, into your thing. Yeah, and down into your thing.
Yeah, so
that, like, you pulled it through your sleeve, and you'd hold the pen, and then you'd let go, and the pen would go up your sleeve. Do you remember that? I'm thinking, like, could you do something along those lines for getting to the helicopter so it's, like, you're running from the police, and all of a sudden, you duck behind a car, and you're gone. And then you're up at the helicopter. I don't know how... Yeah.
That would be pretty crazy.
Like that you just...
Like a magnet.
Yeah.
Like just kind of... Boom, boom. Damn.
That'd be cool.
You know, with the moon magnet technology that you've created...
Yeah.
You can easily implement that.
So what if we combine these plans? And what if you only robbed moons on full... only robbed places or did things on full moons and you'd be the moon...
I'd be the... Yes.
You'd be the dark... You'd be like the moon...
I would be the werewolf thief.
You'd be the werewolf thief. Yeah. Yes. And something along those lines. And so then you would be able, like, when the moon is full, we'd have a giant magnet that's on that side. And so you know, well, I guess the moon's always there. It's just dark.
It's right.
But it'd be more exciting if it was
It would
full.
Be. Yeah, the werewolf thief sounds better. I'd wear, like, a werewolfy mask.
Yeah. And so then when you are done, you would just throw a thing up into the sky.
Uh-huh.
We'd activate like some sort of magnetic field, and it would scoop down into the atmosphere and pull any planes or anything that's in the area. It would also pull them too.
Oops.
So you'd have like
books. Yeah.
But then it would, you know, grab the thing. Ooh, but could you do like a, you know, you can technically laser point to the moon.
I guess you can technically do
like
that.
Like, you could take a laser pointer and, like, point... It's just that it's too small to see on the surface of the moon. But technically, it's hitting the surface of the moon. I'm wondering if there's some sort of, like, laser technology where it's, like, able to pinpoint what it is because you could shoot it. So you have to, like, do this towards the moon, and then it would, like, shoot a thing, and it would recognize that it's, like, where you're shooting it from. Have, like, a laser that's shooting there. It would track the photons, and then it would grab that magnet in that certain area and then pull you up.
It sounds legitimate to me.
So you...
if this phone can face...
Unlock
with your face? Can't. Why not? Are you closing your eyes? unlock.
Yeah, there it goes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if that can do that, then we can do this.
We could do that, yeah.
But Yeah, if it like pinpointed exactly where it was, so it just scoops up that like metal, that metal piece, and then grabs you, and you would have on. That's the thing, is you'd be like the spaceman werewolf, because you'd have to have on a spacesuit with like a werewolf hood.
Yeah, so, some sort of
yeah. And so you'd only rob or do things at in a full moon, but in a full spacesuit.
I
space want
to see
suit.
This.
And so then you'd be running from the police, and they'd be like, "Stop!" And then you'd throw the thing, and it'd go. Boom, and pull you up to the moon, and then you're gone.
And they're like, and then there are helicopters flying around
and they're like,
you.
Where did he go?
Yeah. Werewolf astronaut. We need it. We're working on the title.
We have a lot of work to
lunar
do.
Lunar werewolf
title.
Thief.
The lunar. Or you just call him Eclipse.
Ooh.
That's what you call him. He would just be Eclipse.
Yeah. There you go. So that's
but
our
But
that's
the
our
local
super
news,
villain.
The
yeah.
local news would call him. The werewolf thief. But he'd be trying to convince everybody, like, he'd be watching the news inside of the thing and be like, "No, it's Eclipse! My name is Eclipse!" And
I'm tweeting
like,
it out. Werewolf, Eclipse is such a better name.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what leads to his downfall. How long have we been going?
Let's see.
I don't know.
This is the
we don't have, oh, we're oh, at an hour.
I say we ask another question.
One more question.
What kind of question is this? Do we
We should answer that.
Do we add?
I didn't answer that.
If you were a tree, what type of tree would you be?
Pine.
Thank you, Aaron. You know what that you would be?
Yeah, maybe a pine tree.
I don't know what I would be. I guess.
No, maybe I'd be a redwood.
That's what I was thinking.
I was thinking a pine because I like how they smell and I'd like to smell good all the time.
You know, when you said pine, I was thinking rosemary, but that's a bush.
That's a bush. You can't be a bush if they're asking what tree.
Okay.
That's not the same thing. That'd
what
be
type
like...
of tree would I be? I'd be just a classic tree.
What's that? No, there are...
Just a green tree with a bush, like, up top.
There's a type of tree. We have to look up types of trees. Hold on. Okay. So
all I know, okay, redwood.
Because I only know a couple types of trees.
Redwood, pine, palm.
I feel like...
Regular tree.
I feel...
What other trees are there?
Types of trees. There's weeping willows. Those
oh,
are cool.
That's pretty cool. What about cherry blossom tree?
Cherry blossoms are pretty cool, too.
That's
there's almond trees. There's coconut trees.
There's an autumn tree. Autumn?
Almond.
Oh, almond.
You could be a pistachio tree.
There's not... Is there really a pistachio tree?
That was his tree, representative species, pistachio. Oh, you could be a red maple.
Ooh, that's
a black
good one.
Oak.
Look at this pistachio.
Yeah, that is a pistachio that's tree.
Weird.
They exist. Look them up. They're very odd looking. Look at them. They look like little... Venus fly traps.
They do.
Okay, here's a diagram of a bunch of different types of trees. So if we're really going to talk about what type of tree... This is on Shutterstock. I don't want that on Shutterstock.
Diagram of trees.
We want 50
we're learning
tree
about,
sorts.
We're learning about boats.
We're being arborists.
Arborists. What'd you put? List of trees? What'd you Google? List of
types
of
put,
trees.
I put types of trees.
I always complicate my Google searches. I don't know why.
Yeah, willow. Ooh, elm. An elm tree? What's I don't even know what that looks like. I just like the name. What's that?
Learn about nature.
Oh, it doesn't say. It's a cool tree.
This is a cool tree. Maybe if I tap it.
Oh, yeah. Here's a bunch of types of trees.
Look at that. That's a classic tree.
Yeah, it's just that what we're looking at is a tree that has a wooden like stalk that goes up. A wooden... What is that called?
A trunk?
Trunk.
Uh-huh.
Wooden trunk. Thick wooden trunk. With, like, nothing. It doesn't have anything on it. It's just a wooden trunk. And then it goes up and it forms into sort of, like, a cloud shape.
Yeah.
Well, that's just a classic tree.
That's a classic tree.
Ooh, those dogwoods
These are dogwood trees are pretty cool.
Hey, let us know what kind of... Because we're, like... I didn't even know this many trees existed.
No.
So if you have a favorite tree, if you're, like, gung-ho about a certain type of tree, let us know because we may have missed that type of tree. And I'd like to know...
I like the smell of magnolia trees. Have you ever had them? They're a very particular smell, and it used to be by my brother's high school.
Oh, interesting.
And it just have this, like, I'm trying to go back to my memory.
memories.
I cannot place the smell of a magnolia tree. It's like very, it's like kind of.
Is it sweet?
It's kind of sweet.
Okay, interesting.
And it has like a little lilt to it, if that makes sense.
A what?
A lilt? A lilt?
What's a lilt?
Like a sweet...
What does lilt taste like?
Wait, it's... hold on. Lilt. Isn't that what I'm saying? What? That's an actual soda drink?
It's a soda.
A characteristic rising and falling of the voice when speaking. So, but...
I'm going to use that word. That's a great word.
But like aromatically? That's not right. What am I saying?
Aromatically?
Thank you. That's the word.
You had all the right letters.
Just pronunciation.
It was just the... It was on... It was the lilt.
The
it was
lilt.
It was the characteristic rising and falling of the voice when speaking. You just put the emphasis on the wrong thing.
That's exactly. It happens all the time to me.
Aromatic instead of aromatic.
Aromatic. There's a lilt in the aromatic sweetness of a magnolia. That's wow. What I like about it.
Okay, I think just from the name, like, I'm not even going to decide on the I just like a lot of these names.
Uh-huh.
So there's, I've narrowed it down. There are 50 trees on this website.
Oh my God.
And I've narrowed it down to the ones that I like. Number 5 is the Quaking Aspen. And that's a cool name.
That's a
I don't know
cool
what it looks
name.
Like, but the Quaking Aspen is definitely up there in names for me. There's the American Hornbeam, which sounds like a character out of Harry Potter.
Yes.
The American Hornbeam. And then, of course, how could we forget the Sassafras?
Sassafras.
What does that look like?
I feel like that's a famous one.
I feel like it is, too. It's a small to medium-sized shade-intolerant tree, which means it can't live in the shade, I assume.
Shade-intolerant?
It's like...
I'm intolerant against shade.
It's like lactose intolerant,
yeah.
But it's shade intolerant. It makes tea. Sassafras tea.
That's what it
that's
is.
That's where it comes from. Slippery elm. My favorite sort of... slippery elm root
uh-huh.
is my favorite sort of thing to have in a tea because it helps you with your voice.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, slippery elm root. There's just the oaks.
The oaks.
And that might be what you're talking about.
Just
let's look it up.
Classic oak tree.
Just
look,
a classic oak tree.
See, that's kind of tree.
Yeah.
I guess I would take. I think I like a maple tree, a sugar maple tree.
Ooh, a sugar maple.
I think that's gonna be me because you can come in, you can stab me, and then get my old sweet juices. okay, maybe I rephrase that.
Big tooth aspen. That's a pretty good one too. Oh, paper birch. Is that what they make paper from?
Paper.
Paper birch. They have to make paper from all sorts. What
right.
type of trees do they make paper from? Is there a specific type of...
What
is there a specific type of tree that they make paper from? Or is paper just come from all types of trees? Because if not, I feel like I've been lied to.
Pulp paper? Wood pulp comes from softwood trees.
So it has to be a softwood tree.
Such as spruce, pine, fir, larch, and hemlock. And hardwood.
Oh, so it's softwood and hardwood.
I don't understand. What part of the tree is used to make paper? I guess.
Any tree?
We gotta find a tree spot, an arborist.
What kind of trees are the best for me?
There you go.
Let's look up Quora, because... Quora? Quora?
I don't know.
Because they know all the answers. It's Q-U-O-R-A. It's the thing where, like, people can... It's like... It's just above Yahoo Answers, let's be honest.
Timber resources are used to make pulp wood.
That's just...
The trees, paper mulberry? Right? All trees can be used
oh,
for
Oh, there it is.
Making.
Okay, all trees can be used for paper making. So that you weren't lying to me, world. You can't just make trees from paper.
But I wonder if there's a
paper
specialist who's like, ooh, I need the dogwood trees.
That's what
trees.
I'm wondering. Like, can I buy paper that's just from...
One specific type
yeah.
of tree.
I'd like that.
Like, I want a willow paper. I want a blossom paper. I want a cashew
okay,
nut
Okay, here's
tree
where
paper.
I think that probably exists. Etsy.
Etsy
probably has that. If
Very
Etsy,
specific.
If there's anywhere that is going to have this, it's going to be Etsy. And it's going to be truly from that tree on Etsy. You could probably look it up on eBay, and they'd probably have it on eBay too, but on eBay it would be a lot.
Rosewood paper.
That sounds like a bougie-ass paper. That is a bougie-ass paper. On eBay, it would not be from that tree. It would just be a lot. They would just
oh,
be
yeah.
repackaging paper. You get white van paper scammed. White van paper? Yeah,
white van paper scam.
They'd be like, hey, come here. We got dogwood paper. We got elmwood paper. We got redwood paper.
I don't agree with this company. It's called Rosewood Plastic Group.
If you're going to have wood in your name.
Why do you need plastic? I don't even know what this is. So we're close to the end of this podcast, sadly.
Yeah.
But I couldn't leave without giving you an update on my Harry Potter.
Oh, yes. Okay, tell me.
Okay. So, I'm on book 3, Prisoner of...
Where are you?
The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah.
I'm at the part where we finally meet Sirius Black.
Oh, have you... Okay, so do you know the secret yet? About Sirius. Have you, like, learned?
Oh, yes. So he's not the bad guy.
Got it. Okay.
He's not the bad guy. Okay. Oops. Spoiler alert.
For a book that came out 12 years ago.
That's true. Like it did come out a long time
ago. If you haven't read Harry Potter and you're listening to this, go read Harry Potter. That's spoiler's a kind of a big spoiler, but it's not that big of a spoiler.
Right. I remember reading it. One of the big shocking things is when Sirius Black as the dog took Ron.
Yeah.
And Ron jumped right in front of Harry Potter to protect him. The dog pulls him and is going down through the Whomping Willow, mm-hmm. you know, and it's dodging and hitting everything. And Ron's trying to hold on so that the dog doesn't take him down the hole. And then there's like a sudden like snap and crack and his leg just breaks. That was such like a guttural feeling for me. Like it hurt so much to hear that. I found out all the truth about that, how he became a dog to get away from the Dementors.
Uh-huh.
And how he didn't have a happy thought that kept him to his identity, but it was this thought of revenge.
Yeah.
And so that was able to like center him into who he was, so he wouldn't lose himself entirely.
Have you found out?
Oh, and then Snape came in, and Snape was like, you know, has Snape is like really Hermione basically, I think it was Hermione, someone called him out on it, and I was like, dude, that was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Like, let it go. You know what I mean? Let it go. I found out it's the Scabbers, the rat, this whole fucking time.
Yep.
I liked that rat.
I know.
And then it turned out to be this dick.
Yeah. This real gross.
Yeah.
Have you seen who plays him?
You know what? I remember, I probably have seen the movie once a long time ago, and I don't remember it. As well, like, it's so
Timothy Sprawl. Sprawl?
I'm gonna look at it later.
Okay.
I'm not gonna
wait. Just makes total sense. Okay. When you see it, you're
because,
like, oh yeah.
And it's funny because I don't think I saw the fourth one, and I might have seen the fifth one, like half of it, because I was waiting for another movie and I walked in on that movie temporarily.
Right.
So as I read it, I'm kind of getting flashes of the other movie. So like when they go into that secret room, mm-hmm. like I'm like, oh yeah, they did go into a weird room. But I know it's a little bit different. But anyway, that was a big big thing, and very sad about the what's his name? Hufflepuff?
What?
Is that not, I feel like that's a Pokemon.
Hufflepuff?
Yeah.
Hufflepuff's the name of the house.
Oh yeah.
Ravenclaw, no. Hufflepuff.
No, oh yeah. God, I'm so sorry. I meant the thing that they killed.
It does sound like a Pokemon though.
The Hippogriff.
The Hippogriff.
I can't believe they actually killed it.
Yeah. It's pretty sad. I remember crying at that part.
Yeah, it's very sad.
I was young, but I remember crying.
I didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think they were going to have the balls to kill an animal.
I know.
I thought they were going to like, let's go, Hippogriff! And they're going to fly away into the sky. And like, they're able to, but no, that didn't happen. And now I guess they got to convince, or I don't know what they're going to do now.
Yeah.
They took him away. They took Scabbers to go to the Dementors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I have like 60 pages left. 80
oh
pages.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still have some good stuff to go.
Is there good stuff coming?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because they've been setting up all the good stuff, but I haven't.
No,
I'm still want to know what the fuck is going on with Hermione. Right? No one's telling me anything. I bet it's going to be the last part of the book. You'll be like,
it's the last 60 pages.
It is, isn't it? They're like, oh, this is Hermione's thing. Ho ho. You know?
But. Yeah. It will, when you get there, it will make sense. Everything will make
sense. It's got to be the thing that, like, saves the day. Or, like, that little trick is, like, you're, like, down in the dirt. Like, down, you're going to lose
against the dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's almost like the surprise at the castle is what I was thinking.
Right.
Like, you're facing the bad guy at the end, and the only thing that can stop it is this little Hermione trick. Yeah. That's not true. But, you know, there's a lot more substantial stuff happening than that.
Yeah.
Thing.
No, those last 60 pages, I think, are my favorite.
I'm at The Dementor's Kiss.
Oh, man.
That's the next chapter.
Yep.
So I'll probably read some of that on the fly.
Wait, so you got to the part where Harry's in the woods.
Harry's in the woods.
And he's about to get attacked? Have you?
By the dog. By Sirius Black.
Are you might be getting to the part right now. No, you should.
He's still, I think they're still in the
Has he gone out in the woods yet? By himself?
Well, not by himself. No, okay. No, he hasn't gone by himself.
Okay. I think that's this chapter that's coming out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he hasn't gone by himself. He's just, I think they just found out about it and they like put him in chains, or they, They like did magic to carry him out.
Got it.
And then they put the, yeah. So anyway, that's the update. Let's
I'm in the middle of writing the Star Wars plot for the RPG we're gonna do. So that's gonna be fun, and it's definitely the hardest one I've done.
And why is it hard?
Because I'm the other ones, I kind of know who the characters are. Like with Harry Potter, it's easy because they're all Hogwarts students.
Yeah.
And with Toy Story, they're all toys. But with Star Wars, the way that I'm writing it, it could be anybody from any of the planets. And there's so much lore and there's so much shit to go through. And it's basically going to be like I'm going to take a base from what the canon or what the legends lore is, which is like it's not like there's canon and there's legends.
Right.
And canon is very specific. It's just like the stuff in the movies and the stuff they've defined is like truly in the Star Wars universe. And then there's legends, which is a little more broad, and I'm taking whatever they put in the legends and then I'm just sort of making up my own stuff too, because it's a lot to go through.
Yeah. As you're saying, like, there's a lot of shit.
There's a lot of shit. So we're just going to make some stuff up, which is fine. Because Star Wars is made up anyways, in case you didn't know.
Oh, I didn't
somebody
know that.
Made up all the stuff that's in it. And so if we do something and it's not what would have happened in canon, that's okay. Because somebody just made that up. And now I'm
somebody
just making
made it up. We're probably... And John, I didn't forget about you. I know you asked me to do a shameless plug. We're going to do this next week when we have Star.
Yeah, because we want to do it without...
Without Star. We want to do it as a family.
So, and for the people that don't know, it's on our Slack. John sent us a little video on our Slack to react to during the podcast.
Oh, to response.
To response to.
Yeah.
And so if you want to send us a video to response to, you can go join our Slack. You can find it at our Twitter at We Stayed Late. And you can also tweet at us and we'll answer you. And we also have our own. I'm at Spencer Stark.
I'm at Louis 12, LUWI 12.
That's it.
That's it.
All. We're going to go to sleep. Oh no, we're going to go to dinner. Shit, we have to go to dinner.
We've been eating these prongs.
I only ate two of them.
Oh, I only ate two, too.
Oh, well, we'll be fine.
We only ate four prawns.
There's like 1,000 in this
thing. Yeah. Actually, there's 2 pounds.
There are legit 2 pounds of prawns.
If I eat this, I'm going to be 2 pounds heavier. Little known fact.
You eat 2 pounds of food, you're 2 pounds heavier. At least until, like, in about 8 hours.
I'm sure the YouTubers are wondering how we're recording this audio.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to lift this up so I can say goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Stay fishy.
I'm dying!